This podcast is proudly brought to you by POC Podcasts.
Hi, my name is Kgabo Legora and you're listening to Son of a Son, where I as a dad speak to other dads about how we can become better men. Today I'm joined by Katlego Baitsi, an award-winning film director and a dude that's a mad inspiration for me in the gym. Hope you guys enjoy this one. Hello, hello, and hello, everybody. Today, I'm joined by Katlego. I don't even know how to pronounce your surname, bro.
Baitsi.
Baitsi.
Yeah, it's a common error with my surname. People don't really know how to pronounce
it. I was going to say Baitsi.
People say Baitsi, and it is written that way. Yeah. But I've just been raised for it to be pronounced as Baitsi.
Is that Tswana Sotho?
It's Setswana, but funny enough, a lot of the time it's written with an I. So it's a lot of people do pronounce it Baitsi, because there is a Baitsi with an I. Don't ask me, man. It's a long kind of... I got long stories about my heritage. It's awkward.
Yeah, we'll get there. Because that's exactly what kind of like singled you out for me. Because we met last
year.
Last year, right?
No, man.
2 years
2018.
Ago. Yeah, you even remember the year. Yeah, 2018. It was on your set.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even do your portfolio justice. Katlego is a award-winning film director, deadlift legend.
Wow.
In the gym.
Too kind. More compliments. Yeah. Need a big ego.
Yeah, we met on set, right? On your set, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was shooting for Jay Something and Converse.
Yes.
And I was actually co-directing with a guy named Duran Levinson.
Yes.
It's one of the first commercials I directed for Joe Public.
Nice, bro.
And yeah, that was a big deal for me, man. It was a very awesome shoot for me.
Like, that thing came out amazing.
Yeah.
It came out amazing. And then after that, I started seeing all your Insta stories in the gym. I was like, yeah, I'm not doing anything in the gym. I was like, but yeah, dog. So, kids.
Yeah, man.
You're dead.
I'm a pop-pop, and so are you, man. We deep in the game, you know?
How long have you been in the game?
Sorry, how long?
How long have you been a dad?
So my son is four. Okay. My eldest son is 4 years old.
Sure.
And I've got a daughter as well. She's just over a year now.
Nice.
So for four years. And funny you mentioned the gym, man. You know, I think different things happen when you become a parent.
Sure.
And I've seen different guys go different directions.
Yes.
And, you know, I think for... a lot of my Caucasian friends they like to end up getting into cycling and shit. You know, like some guys get into golf. Some of my homies have gone off the deep end and just like childhood trauma has like kicked in, I think, because they just I got a friend who just kind of like after his I obviously won't mention names or anything, but after his son kind of after he knew his girlfriend was pregnant, he kind of something a switch happened and went another way. And I guess for me, like, with the gym thing, I've always been into sports, but I was kind of like, my body wasn't exactly like anything...
Athletic.
Yeah, athletic.
Yeah.
But when my wife got pregnant, something also for me kind of like clicked, and I kind of... That's when I really started getting into fitness more.
Yeah.
And I even have like a before and after photo, and then like sometimes I'm like, holy crap, it's quite weird. Yeah, it's not anything drastic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm not freaking... If anyone doesn't, you know, I don't want people to see me and expect like flipping, I don't know what.
Like, you are building this thing up, dog.
No. So I just, you know, just manage expectations. Yeah. I'm an average shaped person, human being.
Yeah.
But before I was also just kind of like, you know, a little bit of chubby, not too bad, a little bit. But yeah, I think my son having kids definitely changed something mentally for me about like
health.
Health.
Yeah.
And, you know, your mind starts to play with a lot of things psychologically.
Yes.
It's such a weird...
The switch happened for me as well. I think not so much with my son. Oh, actually, it was with my son. But the switch kept on happening. Mm. The more...
You got two kids, eh?
Ooh.
What?
Times two.
What, four?
Yes, sir.
You got four kids?
Yes, sir.
Snap. Oh, my God.
I think you saw one of my daughters and you... But she's a twin.
Oh, are they identical?
No.
So they're paternal, so they're not identical.
Yeah, but it throws off everyone. That's why people, when they look at my stories, they're like, oh, damn, I didn't know. They all look the same. I was like, yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, no, stop for a second. So how many kids? You got four kids?
I got four kids.
How old is your eldest?
He's five.
Yes, okay.
He's five. Yeah, so he's going six next year.
Is he starting school?
Starting not next year, the following year.
And it's registered.
No, I mean, like, bro, like,
ish, dude.
You know, now I feel like I can just let it out. Like, dad, bro, I'm like, I'm trying to figure these things out now.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm just like,
with you.
This guy needs to go to school. Mm. There's a process, there's a procedure, there's a, you need to apply way beforehand, all these things. So I'm like, yeah, part of me feels like I'm falling behind, but I don't want to put too much pressure on him or me. So, we'll get there.
But I know you don't want to, but you gotta get him in before, like,
100%.
You don't want him to be like,
no.
20 years old and the tricks are all like 18, you know? No, it's fine. Actually in the long haul, but in when you're in the moment, I feel like in high school,
might hell yeah, I'm not that far, but he'll get there.
How old are you again, homie?
I am 30.
30?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool.
You doing the math?
You started younger than me, eh?
I did, bro.
Yeah, I started young. I'm 38 in February.
Bro?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, legit.
Bro, you look like you're 25.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
I'll
drop my age in as well, so people know I'm not a kid, you know.
I'm
chasing 40, homie.
Hopefully I'm like that when I'm 40, because I just want to age well, bro. It's a big thing for
me. I think if you're starting your training now, just taking care of yourself really now, then you're good.
We were talking about that switch, because I was like, with my son, I switched. I was like, I need to take my health. I was already taking it very seriously. I was in the gym. Mm. I was taking up whatever sports I could on the side. But I think when he came, I was like, I need to switch up my diet.
Sure.
You know, like, I was already in the gym, but I was like, am I doing it the right way? Is this sustainable and all of that? Yeah. Like, can I keep this going? Then the twins came. I was like, can I keep this going? Because I'm like, my energy levels are going to drop. My time my capacity to go to the gym has dropped. I don't go.
Well, we just, a crutch just fell there next to the man's moon boots.
Yes, okay. Thank you.
He's stressing so much about thinking about gym. Jeez, bro. Calm down, bro.
Yeah. So I'm like, when they happen, like, then your time is going. You don't have as much time. I think it's like the true equation of it is like the more kids, the less time and the less money.
Right? Dudes, yeah, like, I don't know how some people manage it, you know, but I think it's like also finding your rhythm, and also remembering you gotta also take care of yourself, you know. Like, I think one of the things about being a parent that also happens is this happen, like, you kind of, I don't know how it is with you and your wife, or you kind of lose a part of yourself. You also kind of lose a part of your relationship, and you almost have to find that again.
Oh,
you know,
bro. I'm in it now, right? Because I'm like, I think this year was one of those years where I was like, I mean, it's 2020, right?
Yeah, 2020.
Obviously, but like,
shit show.
Yeah, exactly. So a part of me is also like, you have to fight for that.
Mm.
Like, there's no way you're going to survive. I'm not trying to like survive life. Like, I'm trying to kind of just live the life.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? So I think sometimes even with four kids, it's like the common questions, FAQs, is like, how do you do it?
Mm.
That's number one that comes out, right? Then it's like, you don't look like you have four kids. Like, how does
that's a compliment, though.
Yeah, hell yeah, I'll take it. But I'm like, how does a guy that has four kids look like?
Yeah.
He just looks like he's just run down and is like, let loose.
I think for our generation as well, I hope I'm part of your the generation. I know I'm nearly 40.
According to ANC, you're not the youth anymore.
Oh, jeez. But I think Oros is still there, so I don't know. But for our generation, it's like what a parent was has changed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
you know, even before, when you could have like a very humble job and be able to afford four children.
Yeah.
Now it's like, geez, dude, you have to really be working hard to afford four children and a space. And geez, dude, I can't imagine your creche fees.
Bro, you know what?
Small down payment, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? Like, I don't know if people are usually scared to ask that question, but they try to stay clear because, like, it's like, no way. It's like the school fees is probably intense.
No, well, I know primary school is cheaper than creche.
Yes.
You know, so
I don't understand that logic, to be honest, but
I don't understand it either, but just like, it can go anywhere to, for anyone who doesn't have kids and listening to this, it can go anywhere from like 2K to like 4.5 easy per child.
That's like,
you know,
that's easy. Even basic.
And that's basic, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, and primary school, depending on the school.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not talking like St. Stithians.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking like regular. It can be like one and a half.
Yeah.
Or even 800.
Yeah.
So, jeez, dude.
Doesn't make sense to me, to be honest.
It's insane. It's insane. But hey.
But we're still here. I was still here 5 years later. You know what I'm saying? So, bro, you know, like, I learned through Instagram. Mm. And I mean, like, we only interacted online, right? Most of the time since we met.
True.
But I guess I got to know a bit of you and your, I guess, profile or family through that, right? You married to?
I'm married to, my wife is Norwegian.
Norwegian, bro.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot of, we're really great. She's amazing, dude. She really is. She's a Viking. You know, Norwegians are Vikings. So she's got that kind of fire. Hectic.
I've never heard that description before.
But she's amazing, man. Yeah. The way she gives the kids so much love and she so much effort and so much. She's so thoughtful.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky. So I'm always trying to like, match her.
Yeah.
You know.
I feel you.
Match her energy.
Yeah.
Because we, yes, dude. It's like so much pressure that you put on yourself.
Yes.
As a parent, you know, like you don't want to. You fuck up the children.
Yeah, you want to do them justice. Yeah,
you want to do them justice, and you don't want to like give them trauma.
Yeah,
and you kind of—it's about knowing yourself and not inflicting the trauma that you experience.
100%.
And I don't think everybody has that kind of logic, but for me, and for us, it's always like about making things better for them and there's a lot of pressure. Yeah, so for us, it's like also culturally,
you've
got a lot of things going on.
So bro, I'm like. Just let's just pin this one because I'm like, how has that been? I mean, like stereotypically, obviously there's a lot of cultural stuff that comes with it. But I don't have like a lot of mixed race people close by. Like I know like with Jenny's wife, but like when I saw that you and your wife is Norwegian. I'm like, and you're Botswana.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm curious now. You got my attention.
So she's very She's very, what's the word, like supportive and she's always encouraging me to speak Setswana and Vanak to the kids, which I'm very bad at. And she's always like on my case about it. Like, dude, you need to teach these kids this thing. She loves my heritage.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a traditional wedding as well, of course.
Nice.
And she speaks Norwegian to my kids and
nice.
And Leruo, his name is Sutu. He's like not fluent in Norwegian, but he speaks it.
Yeah,
you know when he goes to Norway and he sees his grandparents and stuff, they speak Norwegian. He speaks Norwegian. I think he's gonna probably grow up to be like do stand up and make fun of me. You know? Like, oh, my dad has been married to my mom for so long and he still doesn't speak Norwegian. He's gonna do that in Norwegian. You know those how comedians do that?
Yeah, yeah.
The little shit's gonna make me a punchline.
Look, but, I mean, like, I feel like I'm like the inverse. Like my wife, I'm Bedi. My wife is Zulu.
Oh, you're Bedi. Okay.
Yeah, I'm Bedi. And then, like, I'm like my wife. I'm like you. Dog.
She's Zulu.
She's Zulu.
Okay.
And I'm like, dude, we have to speak. I mean, like, so the tough thing, right, is that with me. Being Bedi coming to Johannesburg is that Bedi is not like it's not common, right?
It's but a it's, muscle it's a, that you kind of I
right,
feel like
but it's also like a bit of a dialect from like Tswana and Sotho, right? Mm. So like, if anything, you can find people around you that will understand it, right?
For sure.
But
it's tough, dude.
But it's tough because my wife and I speak to each other in English, right?
Yeah.
Just so that we don't. It's just too much. I must keep saying, "What does this mean? What not?"
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like this year I was just like, "No, man." Like my kids, my son is like 5. Like he can understand me when I speak to him in Bedi.
Mm. Oh, that's good.
Right?
That's
so good. I'm like, I can at least console myself in that, right? But I guess there's also this hectic pressure on dads, right? Mm. To make sure that your kids understand your culture, right? And that's been put on men for the longest time.
Yeah.
So I've been curious, like that's why I was like, how is that dynamic for you and your family? With taking into consideration what it is now,
well, for me, like I'm already a very kind of liberal man.
Yeah,
I question manhood in South Africa, like
great.
The idea of manhood, you know.
Great.
And I think for traditional kind of African men, challenging that is very like there's a fragility there.
Yeah,
like, you can't do that.
Yeah,
you know, if I ask you, why should people go to the mountain?
Yeah.
You know, it's not to challenge in a way to kind of be rebellious.
Yeah.
It's just to find, like, there's a problem with manhood in South Africa because of the violence and all the things and all, not to go get too dark or anything. But for me, man, it is a challenge for me culturally to express my culture, mainly because of how I was raised, also in Joburg. Also, my father wasn't really around, and my stepfather was not around, but he's, you know, we're cool, whatever, but he's also not that strong a cultural influence. Yeah. And funny enough, for the longest time, and okay, let me just go back for a second.
Mm.
When I was a kid, we lived in Soweto and Snawane.
Sure.
I spoke Sotho, Zulu.
Yeah.
And I was really young, man, like five, six, whatever. Yeah. And then I went, started one of the first kids to go to a, when it was legal to go to a public school that was mixed race in the sense of white kids and black kids.
Mm.
And then I was told at school.
English. Yeah.
Your parents brought you here because you don't want to hear that here.
Yeah.
Right. And then I go home and my mom's
weird
like.
Enough, bro. Like, I find that so freaking weird. Like, I mean, it's a common thing.
Mm.
Like, even like. Go to school, go talk English. Come back home, you talk whatever we... You know,
well, funny, when I went, got home, my mom was like, look, dude, I want to hear that you are speaking this thing I'm paying for here.
You know, where's the money going?
Yeah, where's the money going? So, dude, my English now, I swear to you, I could challenge any flipping professor from Oxford and speak eloquently and drop bombs, you know?
And then you can still go to Tital if you want.
No, I can't. That's the problem.
Jeez.
So I lost it. But then when I was around 15, I lost it completely. When I was around 15, 16, I consciously decided, look, man, I need to learn vernac. So I'm self-taught in a way.
Yes.
In vernac.
Yeah.
So because of that, my language is not good.
Bro, I'm scared out of my pants for that. Because when I go home to Limps, to Polokwane, and like,
Limps. I didn't know that. That's what they call it. Limps.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
I thought it was Limpopo.
No. Oh,
is that your wife calls it?
Oh my god. I'm not.
Does she say that?
Bro. No. She says Limpopo. She says the right.
She's the problem. Yeah. Okay. All right.
So when I go home, I'm like, I can see. I can hear myself fumbling over my words.
Mm.
I can see my mother looking at me, laughing at me. Sometimes.
It's a muscle, dude.
And I'm like. When I look at my kids and my daughters are like, what the hell are you saying,
you know,
bro?
You know,
like, and I'm like, and that's their response. They hear me when I talk Sepedi and then they're like, then they're like, that's a funny word. And I'm like,
oh dear.
You know, stabbed a bit, you know, but.
Oh dear.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's
dude, you know how you have a moon boot on right now because your leg has got issues?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with languages, I feel. You know, if you don't practice it, you're not going to use this. As soon as take your moon boot off, you're going to feel like, man, I can't walk properly. I need to recover. Yeah. I need to kind of, it's a muscle that you haven't used. So when you don't use it for a long time, it needs time to learn to go again. It's the same language, bro. It works the same way.
Yeah.
So because you're in Joburg, and I have it the same thing. Like, I used to have this copywriting partner who would speak Sotho to me. Because he's from Freistadt, you know, and he'd speak Sotho to me. And then we start to speak. And man, after like 6 months of just speaking, I'll feel the rhythm coming back, you know?
It's a lot easier.
Now, it's like, it's a rhythm, dude. Like, if you're out of rhythm, I promise you spend 6 months back home in Limps, it'll feel much better. But when are you going to get that opportunity? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, like, now, like, it's gearing up to, like, now the festive. I'm like, my kids, I ship them off.
Mm.
They go, they spend time with the grandparents, and I brief my grandparents.
Yeah,
I'm like, please. No English.
That's beautiful, dude.
No English.
I love that. That's
and amazing. By the time they come back, you can hear that they understand you a lot better. So I'm like, my job is done. At least I'm doing something.
No, that's great. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And luckily, their kids, their brains will be sponges for a long time.
100%, bro.
You know, so even if they jump in and out of it, it'll still be like, the foundations will be laid.
Yeah. So 5 years down the line, your son, I mean, like, I think I've said this before in one of these recording sessions before. I think, like, right now, there are a lot of people that say that I'm not bringing a child into this world. It's just a mess.
It's a mad world. I get it.
It's a mess.
I get it.
Then there's still, like, the next level of the fact that you're a dad and then you're raising a boy, another man that's coming into society.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know where we are right now. Gender-based violence is real.
Rife.
Women are being killed. Rife. Women are being hit and all of that stuff. And is that something that you and your wife or just you are consciously like...
Yeah, man, definitely.
Aware of, even with your own boy?
Definitely aware of it with him and with my daughter, you know? I think, man, there's so many layers to this thing, man. Like, it's about teaching him, but it's also... trying to teach him like an awareness about society, my awareness about society, how like I've also realized as having a daughter specifically, how gender is, not to sound like fucking woke or anything, it's such a heavy construct.
Yes.
You know, like it's such a heavy construct. Like can a girl like a pillow that is fucking brown?
Oh, that's
a brown pillow. Bro. And it's like, oh no, you can't like that, you know? Yeah. And it's like, can a girl be a scientist? She must be a princess. Listen, I want my daughter to be a princess for sure.
Yeah.
But I also want her to know she can be a scientist.
Funny enough. My daughter, I was sitting with one of my daughters and I wanted to just test, I guess, where her thinking is with these kind of things. And I asked her like, who's smart, boys or girls?
Mm.
And I wasn't expecting her. She said both.
Great.
But I haven't, we do the subtle things of, look, if your brother wants to paint his nails, hey man, let him.
Whatever.
That doesn't change his life.
Kid, yeah,
you know. Exactly. So I guess these small little things that we keep doing meant something. Then I also, I'm like, who's stronger, boys or girls? So then she paused for a little bit. She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, sure. But I guess sometimes it's important for us to see where their mindsets are going toward, because there have been times where I remember saying this to Mpo Pops the one time he were recording, and I remember
Mpo Pops is a dad.
Oh yeah, he's a dad.
How many kids does he have? Six.
He has one.
The Wu Tang Clan together. Put a soccer team together. One, yeah. Okay, all right.
He has one. And I remember, like, even this nail thing that I'm talking about, because it was a thing. Like, my son, the one day, and this was early, early days, sisters were painting their nails. He wanted to paint his nails. I, like, reacted just like, dog, now. Oh, no. Okay. And then I was like, after I said that, I realized what I just did immediately. And then he walked away, didn't want to paint his nails.
Mm.
And I was like, that was crap. What the hell did I just say? Mm. Right? I went back to him and then I said, I'm sorry, I didn't. That's not right. That's not the truth. If you want to paint your nails, like, go do your thing. He does it from time to time now. But like, it just bothered me that you subconsciously take in so much from what culture teaches you. And I think that's the thing.
It's a fear, man.
Yeah.
It's a fear. That's what's controlling you.
Is that? I mean, 100%
As for me, it would be, you know?
Yeah. You know, we were going to go into that fear thing. Because I was going to go toward the culture thing. Like what you were saying is that there's so much in our cultures as black guys that we have never questioned, right? And we always... there's always a stigma towards certain things. You can't do pink. You are weak. You are this. You are that. And by the time it comes to you raising your kids, you're only perpetuating that.
And part of, for me, all those things, what they do is that it creates a delusion. And when that delusion is not met, comes violence. You know what I mean?
100%.
Like, you got these ideas of what a man is, a man should do, blah, 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 blah. And then that's not met in real life, then what answer do you have other than, there's no other way to express.
Yeah, you feel like you've lost your power
and try to get it back one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a part of the issue. 100%. You know? Obviously other.
But I guess with the fear thing, that's also another thing on its own, like what you're saying now.
Mm.
Like, I'm in this other WhatsApp group with a couple of other guys from varsity that now are, they're all dads. And one of the guys in the group was like, guys, we can't be letting our kids, our boys, play with Barbies and makeup. Oh, bro, the whole group went livid. Because, like, how in this day and age are you thinking like that?
Why is it even a priority for you? Why is it, like, something that's top of mind?
Like,
you know, like, that's the weird thing for me. Like,
And so, because I mean, this came from like a post like done by Lego. I think it was like a manifesto or something toward what the brand stood for like years ago. And it was like, give girls Legos, right? Don't limit them. I'm paraphrasing. Don't limit them to just dolls, because a girl can also dream of being in a spaceship. That was kind of like the ethos of what they were going for.
Don't see anything wrong with that
at all, right? But he went to the opposite. Of yeah, don't give your boy a Barbie doll, like, because, and you know where that goes, yeah, but right?
It's also weird that he went there. Like, it's kind of weird.
I mean, like, but that's the thing, right? And for me, I was like, For me, these kind of views exist.
They do.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
The problem is that we don't create enough safe spaces for that person to be able to process that's not a great way of thinking, right? So instead of saying like, dog, get out of here, like, that's rubbish, let's just cancel and leave this whole conversation. It was like, bro, why do you think that way?
Yeah.
Why do you think that that's wrong? And at the end of the conversation, there was a changing in mindset that like, yeah, like, I didn't mean it that way. But there was a bit of correcting that happened. And I think that that's what I found value in the conversation, is that there's such a big cancel culture that we live in now for men, that we don't have the spaces to process and like acknowledge that, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, the safe space thing is important for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, male figures in your life. This can easily sound like a deep question, but it's not. Don't even take it this deeply.
Okay.
What is like your faintest or most like vivid memory of a male figure in your life?
Well, you know, man, for me, I guess I'm lucky because I had a few good ones. Like I said earlier, my father wasn't really around much.
Yeah.
I would definitely say it was more around like my uncle's influence a little bit. My best friend, who I knew since I was like, I don't know, since we're like 8, 9, I don't know how old we were, but his stepfather, who was our soccer coach, man, that guy had a heavy influence on me. Rest in peace, John Downs. And obviously just looking, I think maybe that's why I'm into like, you know, film and heroes and things like that. Maybe I was kind of like, you know, David Beckham's fucking the man, really a father figure type of character, but. That's where my male influences, they came from outside. They weren't so close. They were like over there. You know? My mother was an amazing woman. Also, her rest in peace. And she for me was, man, she's like a deity. I like to call her a deity.
Sure.
You know, like she's godly almost to me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I didn't have a lot of strong male figures. And also in my family, funny enough, there are a lot of women in my family.
Yeah.
my wife reminds me.
That will probably be an interesting thing for your boy as he grows up. It's like, for sure, you will be his direct reference. Like, and I guess you now, like with the context, like when you're saying like, there's just so much pressure to be, you know, like to be the right kind of dad to your boy. Cause like your own history doesn't have to rewrite itself.
Yeah, for sure.
And then.
I also like to study, sorry to interject. What I like to do is I love watching case studies, especially for work. I love watching case studies on film and things like that. So sometimes I'll translate that into like life, like my personal life.
Sure.
So I'll look at like successful people and I'll be like, who's their dad? So, and then I'll like Bruce Lee, I checked out Bruce Lee's dad.
Bro.
Jay-Z, checked out Jay-Z's dad, you know? And they all have certain, and funny enough, they all, one thing I noticed for one, is that all these successful people had, dads were very prominent in their lives, you know? And then you look at, you know, yes, he's super successful, but someone like Kanye, super successful, obviously he's trying to do stuff, but he didn't really have a strong father figure from what I could see. Maybe I'm wrong. So I also see like, you know, for my son, if I can be a prominent, positive figure, who kind of like is always trying to guide him, dude, he's more likely to succeed in life, you know? Yes, there are men who have made it, or kids, let me not say men, kids who have made it without a father figure. But I feel like, you know, your chances are greater. You have a point of reference. It just helps, you know, like to have that balance.
Yeah.
You know, of that feminine and masculine balance.
Yeah.
And the idea of patriarchy, a patriarch can be good if it's a positive
100%.
Comes from a positive love.
Yeah.
Comes from love.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I have one more question, bro. Like, I think it's interesting the fact that, you know, your dad wasn't around, your stepfather wasn't like super present, mm-hmm. and then you're drawing from your coach as like a father figure as well. Now, so like, what does being a dad now feel or look like for you?
Yo, that's really tough to kind of answer. But I think it's kind of, a lot of it is learning as you go. You know, I don't know what it means, if I'm gonna be honest. Like, it's something you're always kind of discovering, and I feel like if I'm always making myself better and finding a way to make myself better, for me, being a dad is about how can I be better so my children and my family's life is better. You know, that's holistic.
Yeah.
It's holistic. So if my career is doing well or doing better, it's gonna translate to my life. Mm. If I'm healthier, you know, I'm ducking this Rona out here and working out and you know, balancing as well and seeing friends and, you know, having the odd beer and tequila, you know, if there's a babysitter around. it's just about being, if I can be better in different ways, I will translate that to the family and to my son and my daughter, you know.
Yeah.
Man, it's so weird with kids. It's something, I don't know if it happens to you.
Yeah.
But like, there's some kind of weird, I feel like there's a psychology, I don't know what it is, like there's a, like a, you look at your child and something is in your brain that's like, look at my child, this is the best thing in the world. And it's weird, it's like, and then sometimes I'm looking at my boy, I'm like, oh man, look at this sweet boy and his little afro, look at my daughter, oh, look at this beautiful thing. And then I'm like, what is it? It's like human instinct is so weird, you know?
Strange
way to be.
Look, I'm just like, there are four humans here that are growing at different paces, have different likes, different dislikes, different personalities. And I was even going to ask you this question as well. It's like, you're in the creative field, bro. Like, already for our generation, that's like close to a norm. But like, for our parents at the time, like, the creative field
I can't even think of a single creative.
Yeah. So I'm like, for my kids, it's like, it's the norm to see, okay, this guy's like lugging around cameras and he's going off, and then you see the thing that he was working on his laptop on the TV, and you're like, but I always wonder, like, for creatives, if like we have this, and I'm struggling to find the words, we have
another direction?
No, not another direction, but rather like, you know how, like, do you ever think about how do I use this thing, this work, this career that I'm doing to either inspire my kids or to do something that's like significant in my space?
I mean,
because film directors, I tip my hat, so I have my hat off to you guys, because you're directing the whole narrative from start to finish of this story, right? Like, and I always look at what is the main thing behind this thing. Sometimes it's just like, it's dope. Let's not complicate this thing. It's just really fresh. And then some people really just want to be a bit subliminal with the messaging. Mm. But I'm just curious if that's like part of your thinking as well.
So it definitely is, man. So it's tricky because I'm in the commercial space. Like, I'm a commercial director at the moment.
Yeah.
It's harder to tell narrative stories that aren't attached to a brand.
Mm.
You know, so some ideas I have, especially that I feel like, are the insight is taken from being a father, and it's about influencing that aren't really there. But I've got these short film ideas and these film ideas that I want to pitch and create that do speak to that, that speak to, you know, not necessarily my kids, but speak to the idea of being a parent conceptually.
Sure.
And the idea of manhood.
Yeah.
And not necessarily as an attack, but like, it definitely, I've got these stories that question manhood and kind of not question parenting, but like play in with the philosophy of parenting.
Yes.
I know this is very vague.
I get you.
It's still in the works. So I don't want to like give myself away yet.
Yeah.
But the, how I approach it, I take insight from being a parent when I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
But I do want to tell stories that speak to that, you know. And I guess also there's a fear, a creative fear in, within me, is that will this appeal to everybody?
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? It will appeal to everybody. Yeah. When you look at a movie like Arrival, which I thought was amazing. I don't know if you've seen Arrival.
I haven't.
With the Denis Villeneuve. I can't pronounce his surname.
I'm bad with movies.
But man, that movie is... If you're a parent, you should watch it. It's a very slow movie.
Sure.
Fair warning.
Okay.
Slow, but it's conceptually, it's like an interesting question that they pose in there. And I think it's a tough and a beautiful question. And it's well crafted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm happy. Thank you very much, bro, for joining me. I really appreciate your time.
Thank hopefully you for having me, man.
Yeah, hopefully I'll join you in the deadlifts when I'm out of this.
Hey man, you can still do some work though. Don't make the moon boots an excuse, dog. You can do pull-ups. You got arms.
This guy.
You got arms, you got another leg there.
Yeah. Okay. That's how we end it.
Nah man, thanks for having me. It's been awesome. I love having the opportunity to just think about being a parent and playing in that mindset.
Yeah.
I hope I didn't ramble too much.
Nah, bro. Thank you, dog.
Sweet homie.
Peace, everyone.
Peace.
I am Khawul Ghora and thank you for listening to Son of a Son.
This podcast is proudly brought to you by POC Podcasts.